Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
You're listening to the Hammer Radio Network, Hammer 96.7 BT Radio in Los Angeles, and I am executive producer Ellen Johnson coming to you live from Metairie, Louisiana, and today is February 14th. Happy Valentine's Day, and today on the show we're going to have Who is Natalie McMasters? Author Thomas A. Burns gives Hammer and Ellen J. the scoop. Who is Natalie McMasters? Natalie McMasters is 21, blonde, and a college student. She's madly in love with two people, her wife, Lupe, and her partner in the 3M detective agency, Danny. Determined to forge them into a polyamorous family, she ropes them into a relationship retreat in rural Georgia. Then a string of brutal murders gets in the way. And here's a little bit about Thomas Burns, the author of the Natalie McMasters series. Thomas A. Burns, Jr. is the author of the Natalie McMasters mysteries. He was born and grew up in New Jersey, attended Xavier High School in Manhattan, earned a BS degrees in zoology and microbiology at Michigan State University, and an MS in microbiology at North Carolina State University. He currently resides in Wendell, North Carolina. Tom has written fiction as a hobby all of his life, starting with Man from U.N.C.L.E. series stories in Marvel-backed copybooks in grade school. And if you'd like to come in and join us and talk to Mr. Burns, the number is 319-527-6099. And now, without further ado, the number one radio personality, Brian the Hammer Jackson.
Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you, my little toot sweet.
Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. You're listening to Hammer 96.7 BT Radio, number one radio in the morning on BT Radio. We're on Stitcher and TuneIn. Listen and learn. Today we welcome.
You heard this.
I haven't. It's brewing, just like your temper.
I have. My temper's not brewing. My temper will start brewing later.
It will be. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Again, we're heard around the world, and they hear us. I played a song, We Are Legends, and it's time for every person who's in their field to become one. To become a legend is to become good, be strong, a strong message, and popular. Our show today is sponsored by the great Purple Diamond Publishing. We want to thank them very much for sponsoring the show. If you're looking for a consultant, and we call her a literary consultant, and a lot of authors and writers don't know about this, Cherise Kateri Cox is a literary consultant. And let me tell you what that is. A lot of people are doing a DIY, do it yourself, which is great. But you can only go as far as what you know. And if you really want to be successful, you need to know everything. You need to educate yourself about business. You got a book, that's fantastic. Now it's time to get it out there. Now it's time for people to know who you are. And that's where Purple Diamond Publishing comes into place. They will teach you about a lot of things that you may not know. I'm not that literary in the author field, but I do, by talking to Cherise Kateri Cox, she has really educated me in a lot of business marketing and promotion about once you get your book done, how to get it to be a success and how to get it out there. Purple Diamond Publishing can do that for you. One thing I like about Cherise Kateri Cox is that she has this information line. You can make a free call to her, like a consultation call. Test her out. See how good she is. And if you think you know everything by talking to her, I will bet money that you don't. She is so well informed, and it's just remarkable how she can get you to the place you want to be. And I'll tell you about it. Purple Diamond Publishing, I looked it up, and it's a very interesting story. It's a gentleman. He was in UK, 1996. He was the only literary consultant in the world. It's a very fascinating story. And he found out that a lot of people were getting books and publishing books at the age of Amazon, so on and so forth. But they didn't know how to market their book. They didn't know how to brand their book. They didn't know how to get on the bestseller list. So he decided to be a literary consultant. He was the only one in the world that was doing it. And I was so surprised that Cherise Kateri Cox is the second one with the same ideas. She tweaked it a little bit for, 2020 and in the audience of the millennial audience. But so she is now taking over that torch, and I really would love authors. So things like media kits that authors never thought about, things like branding and marketing and questions about. I didn't know about the ISBN, that once you're on Amazon that you can only use their Amazon IBM, and that a lot of people like brick-and-mortar coffee shops like Barnes & Noble will not accept that IBM. Just a lot of information I did not know. Again, Purple Diamond Publishing. If it's time to get serious, that's where you go. And they make you look good because they work so hard to make you look good. Thank you so much for Purple Diamond Publishing for sponsoring Brian the Hammer Jackson Show. And thank you, Cherise Kateri Cox, for putting your faith in the number one show in the morning, Purple Diamond Publishing. I want to also thank Jonas Saul and his series. Are you kidding me? The Sarah Roberts series? That's Sarah Roberts. Love her. Another detective
Jonas.
Series.
Good morning, Jonas.
Yeah, Jonas Saul. That's what I said. Unbelievable series, Sarah Roberts series. Get it now on Amazon. And also, God, I can't, Michelle Marie Mays. Wow. She came on last week and she talked about her story of abuse and what she went through. Right, Ellen?
Yep. Yep.
Just a remarkable story about survivors. And like I said, when you listen to this show, these stories are real. People are real. The pain is real. And when they tell you about these stories about abuse and what they went through, and they write a book, and you're just more aware of what's going on and how to be treated and get help. Thank you, Melissa Marie Mays. We have other authors, too, who are going to be sponsoring this show.
Michelle Marie Mays, not Melissa.
I thought Michelle Marie Mays. So,
yep,
again, support her. She's an author. Her book is on Amazon right now. What's the name of her book, Ellen?
Her book is called Dumpster Doll.
Already has up to 900 views on Facebook. Unbelievable. We did
a
little radio trailer with her, and it just took off. I mean, it was experimental. Amazon doesn't do it. So we decided to do a little radio trailer, which is almost like a teaser on the movie thing. Almost 900 views. It took off like crazy. We're going to do another one with Sharice's book called Till the Death of Me. Just unbelievable. Thank you for all of your support out there. And we have another legend, Mr. Thomas A. Burns, just stepped into the arena. And we're going to interview this gentleman today. I love the book. It's a detective book. Didn't we have a lady just here yesterday, or Ellen? She had a detective story. Was it Christine? Does Christine have a detective story?
Yeah, she had.
Yeah.
She had The Innocence, and she was here. She was here. Was it? She was here Wednesday. Yeah, she came on the show Wednesday, and she was here promoting her series, The Innocence. And her
yeah.
series goes back Old West and the Pinkerton Detectives.
And not only that, what an incredible woman who was who worked as a police officer in Scotland and in England. And she worked in Scotland Yard, and she made her way up to a detective. And her mystery stories also revolve around real crime. So remember her book, Ellen?
Yep, her series is called The Innocence.
And that's on sale now in Amazon and hopefully in our store called The Capture Store. Remember, our store, only the authors in our store captures the audience. Our store is called Captures. We're at mbponemand.com. Hit the link, go to The Capture Store, and again, our authors captures the audience. Thank you so much. Christine, you rock. She's one of our sponsors too, right?
Yep. Yes, she is.
Was it Ashbury? Is it Ashbury? I got to say it's Scottish. Christine Ashbury.
Ashbury.
That's right. Remember her name. Get it at Amazon. And also you can get it in our store. If you go to our store and you buy the book from our authors, they also get a cashback bonus, and they get a little surprise so they can give back to their audience. That's what we do. All right, everybody. We got a great show. It's Friday. It's Valentine's Day. Anything goes Friday. But what's going right now is, oh, my God, the time. I'm going to quit talking. Let's get to Thomas Burns. Maybe we can even extend the time if we have to. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only Thomas. You know when you're really important, you have a middle initial? That's when you know you're really important. It makes you pay attention, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Ladies and gentlemen, Thomas A. Burns. At Ellen. Audience.
Oh.
Ah. Morning, Mr. Burns.
Good morning, Brian. You forgot to.
How you doing, buddy?
Good.
It is so good to have you in the studio, sir. I read a little bit of the synopsis about your book. It's very interesting. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and let's get this going and make you a legend.
Go for it.
Here we go. Growing up, Thomas A. Burns. Tell me about it.
Oh, what to tell? I grew up in northern New Jersey, very close to Newark. Remember watching the city burn in the 60s out of my bedroom window. Yep.
Wow.
Later on, I went to high school in Manhattan, commuting from Jersey. Mm-hmm. So I spent 4 years essentially in New York City every day, at least up until summers that I spent at home. So I got a really good knowledge of Manhattan, which you can see in my book, Traffic. I put that to good use. It was a rough neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
We had gangs of kids, a lot of petty crime, which I managed to stay clear of. It was a good thing in a way. They sent me to school in New York because I got away from those kids, and a lot of them went to jail. I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that accounts for some of my interest in mysteries and crime fiction, which has been a lifelong thing.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Well, you do have a lot of work. I love the titles of your book. I'm just going to name a couple of them. And before we get to the main one we're going to talk about today, of course, Stripper is one of Natalie McMaster's, I think that was book one.
That's right.
Then you also have, excuse my pronunciation, I'm going to try it. Is it the Canticle, Texas? The selection from Religious Wisdom and Traditions?
No. That is a different...
That's not your book?
No, it is not. And that's one of the reasons I use the middle initial and I go by Thomas A. Burns Jr. Because it's a common name. So, no. The only books you'll find of mine are the McMaster's books, and you can identify them because they all have an they're one-word titles with an exclamation point.
I see. That bastard. All right. Here's a little bit of the original Thomas A. Burns.
Junior.
You know, Natalie McMaster, like Ellen read, Natalie McMaster, you know, is 20, short and blonde. Okay, and she's bleach blonde. So let's get this. So that means she's smart, not a real blonde.
Oh my God.
I put that in. Don't blame him. she's way cute, and she's a pre-law student at State, and she's also straight. Or at least she thinks so. To put herself through school, she's moonlighting as a private detective. A private detective trainee at her uncle Amos Murdoch's 3M detective agency. The most exciting thing she does there is sit in a car. After she directly confronts the subject on a stakeout, Amos fires her for taking too many chances. Then she meets another student who bears an uncanny resemblance to her, and everything in her life changes. I love the book. Okay, I'm going to ask you some questions. Here we go. You know, Thomas A. Burns, a detective for the new generation. Why? Why do we need a detective for the new generation?
Well, I think largely because if you look at the demographics of mystery readers, you're going to find that they're mostly, not all, middle-aged women. They've probably been reading these books for most of their lives. And, you know, as much as I love them, that's a generation that's passing. And I think that if this genre is going to continue, we need to be hitting the new generation. These are the kids who are reading the YA books that are so insanely popular. They get into their 20s. What do they read after they finish with those YA books? Some people still continue with them, but I wanted to extend the mystery genre to those people. So I needed a young protagonist, which is Natalie. You know, it just took off from there. I wanted something that was in a classical tradition, but trendy for the millennials and Gen Z.
Very good. You know, there's a theme here, Thomas. We also have a gentleman. His name is Jonas Saul. He's one of my favorites, and he's a good friend on Facebook, and I consider him a friend. He wrote a book called Sarah Roberts. He also used a female protagonist. Is this the year of the female? Because, again, I asked him a question, and I want to ask you the same question. Why?
Brian,
Christine
also used the female detective as her protagonist.
That's true. That is true. Thank you, Ellen. So, as a man, an intellectual man as yourself, why write about a female protagonist and not a male? Is it the year of the male? Is the female? Is this a sign of times that we want to root for the female? Why the female character as a lead?
Well, several reasons. One is I like a challenge. I'm 67, white male. So I picked as my protagonist a 20-year-old bisexual female. I don't know that I could get any more unlike me than that. So I wanted the challenge of trying to make that character believable to other young women. And
right.
At least from talking to other women, I think I've done a pretty good job. You know, again, it depends on who you talk to, but most of them say that I've got the voice and I've got the attitudes down. Secondly, at least in traditional mystery readers, most of them are women. Most of the authors writing today are women, and people like to read about people like them. So that's another reason to choose a woman protagonist to appeal to the dominant part of the audience. Not to say that men don't read my books and like them. They do. But, you know, I thought that that was a good choice because if a man private investigator, what am I going to have? I'm going to have Mike Shane. I'm going to have Mike Hammer. I'm going to have, you know, everybody pictures the hard-boiled, cigarette-smoking guy in the trench coat. That's
right.
Not what I wanted. So, you know, again, how unlike that can I get? Well, how about a young college student? So that, you know, that's what influenced that choice.
You also know your audience, too. That's very good.
Mm-hmm.
You know the readers, you know your audience and what you're trying to read. I mean, what you're trying to reach out to. I like the twist, a private dick who turned bisexual. Nice. What a way to go, Thomas.
Well, not turned. She was, but she didn't know it. And that's part of the story in the books, and not the book, but the books, is her discovery of who she is, you know, coming of age. Since these are aimed at younger readers, and also a loss of innocence, because the books are dark and the books are gritty. They are not the cozy mysteries that are so popular these days. They're more in the tradition of Mike Hammer and Mike Shane and those guys. They're sexy, they're violent. And, you know, part of what I was trying to do was explore how does a young, middle-class college girl react when confronted with this stuff? And how does it change her? What does she become? Will she remain somebody that you like? Or will she turn into somebody that you don't like? So that gives me a lot of stuff to play with in character development.
Fantastic. The changing definition of the family, Thomas. Talk to me about it.
Okay, and that's very much in the news these days. Without too many spoilers for the series, that we've already established that Natalie finds herself to be bisexual, but she doesn't at first know that. She first thinks she's a lesbian. Because she becomes attracted to a woman. And as part of the series, she marries that woman, mainly because her girlfriend is a illegal Mexican immigrant who's in danger of being kicked out of the country. So Natalie decides that if they get married, the chances of Lupe staying in the country are much better. That happens in Revenge. And then she falls in love with her partner at the detective agency, Danny, who is a straight-up Boy Scout, ex-Marine, heterosexual, you know, typical all-American guy. So now she had, you know, it's the classic love triangle. I'm in love with two people. Which one do I choose? Except I don't want to do things traditionally. So she doesn't choose one of them. She chooses both of them and decides to see if she can make this go as a threesome, as a throuple. And that's pretty much the story in Venom, which is the book that's coming out in a couple of weeks. It's on pre-order on Amazon right now, and copies will start going out on March 1. And
we are,
you know, then from hello.
Oh, go ahead, Thomas. Go ahead,
yeah.
Thomas.
Then from there, I intend to explore all of the ramifications of trying to live in this society as a struggle. You know, one of course is she can't marry Danny. She wants to, but she can't because it's not legal. How do you deal with that? You have one partner who has all of the rights and privileges of a spouse, and another partner that you love equally that does not have those things. How do you deal with that? So another thing I like to do in the books in general is to address social issues, and not so much to give you my take on any of this. It's more to get you thinking about it. So I'll hit it from, you know, many sides. And you don't assume that when you read things in my books that it's what I believe, because it may not be. But what it is what someone believes, and it's there to get you to think about what you believe.
Very good. The book we're talking about today is called Venom, written by Thomas A. Burns, as we're describing. Now, Thomas, you do have a series. This is the second of the series of the Navajo Master series?
Venom is the fourth in the series.
Now, people are listening to you right now, and I'm intrigued in your story. Do they need to go back to book one just to get the feel of the character and what she's going through before they can go to book four?
No.
Okay. So book four is almost a standalone in a way of the series?
They're standalones in that I try to give you enough information in each book so you know the backstory. I don't want to require people to read, you know, four books or five books, you know, before they can read the latest book. But you will gain a greater understanding of what I'm trying to do if you read the books in order. But it's not necessary. I think you can enjoy Venom if that's the first Natalie McMaster's book you pick up. And it also may, you know, you may read it and say, wow, you know, how did all this happen? That's when you go back to Stripper and start at the beginning and watch it happen. But I don't think you need to do that to enjoy the book.
Okay, and tell me about the other books in the Natalie McMaster series.
Okay, so Stripper is the first book, and that's the one that you read where she meets another girl who looks very much like her. I don't think I'm giving too much away because it happens quickly. That girl is murdered, and Natalie finds out that that girl is an internet stripper. That's how she's putting herself through college. Natalie wants to get the person responsible for this. And when she goes to the police are pretty much, you know, she took her clothes off on the internet. What do you expect?
Right.
So Natalie doesn't like that and goes undercover as a stripper, hoping that she'll run into the same killer. And, of course, mm-hmm. she does find him. That's no surprise. The next book is called Revenge. That's a book about someone who's out to get Natalie, and she has no idea who and no idea why. And mm-hmm. this person keeps doing all of these horrible things to her, and she doesn't know why. So she gets her uncle's detective agency and the detectives to help. The interesting thing in that book is her Uncle Amos is a Southern Baptist, ex-Marine, straight-laced, and here is his favorite niece living in sin with another woman. So there's all of that going on. You know, how does she convince him that she really needs his help to find this person that's persecuting her? The book after that is called Trafficked, and it's about sex trafficking. Unlike mm-hmm. the other books, it's set in New York City, because Natalie has to go to New York to search for someone who doesn't want to be found. And, you know, again, she's a private detective trainee. She's not a full-blown experienced detective. But luckily, she gets Danny to help her in this search. But in the process, she falls in love with him. And, of course, she's appalled, because at that point she's married, and now she's in love with somebody else. What am I going to do? And that brings us up to Venom, when she, at the end of Traffic, she makes the decision, you know, well, actually, at the beginning of Venom, she makes the decision, I'm not going to choose. I'm going to have both of them or nobody. And mm-hmm. Venom is about, you know, how that happens. Venom, I really wanted it to be a gothic mystery, or what's known as an English country house mystery. Agatha Christie mm-hmm. wrote a lot of those kinds of books, where you get this big old house out in the country and a whole bunch of weird characters in the house, and there's a murder mm-hmm. and everybody in the house had a motive to kill this guy, you know, so the fun is sorting through all of these crazy characters and crazy stories. That's what Venom is, essentially, but updated for the new millennium by making it the relationship retreat and a lot of the problems that the characters have are similar to what Natty is there to deal with, you know, relationship issues. And so it's all a lot of fun. And then the last book, which I'm working on right now, which is not out, but will be out in probably 6 or 8 months, is called Sniper. And mm-hmm. it's just what it sounds like. There's a sniper on the loose. And, you know, we're going to look at gun issues and, you know, what happens to a city when that kind of thing occurs. I saw a very good example of that just last week. I saw the movie Joker. Mm-hmm. And if you've seen that movie, it shows what can happen to a city when extreme violence takes hold. So I hope to explore that some in the Sniper book.
Very good.
So that's where I am with those.
Very good. You
wow.
have a theme here. Were you an ex-Marine? Thomas, were you
oh,
in the
God,
service?
No. Nope.
Oh, okay.
I went to a military school in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
That's as close as I ever got to the service.
Okay. And one of my favorite detectives.
I like a challenge.
Right. And you write about one of my favorite detectives, Sherlock Holmes. Tell me about my Sherlock Holmes story.
And this is a 180. There is a group
mm-hmm.
in England of Sherlockians called MX Publishing, and they have a publishing phenomenon going on. They published the MX book of new Sherlock Holmes stories, and I think this has been about 5 years ago, first one came out, I didn't know about it until last year when I befriended the editor. His name is David Markham on Facebook. And he was looking for stories, so I wrote one because I've been a Sherlock Holmes guy since I was a kid. And
right.
The thing about the MX books is that they need to mimic, they're pastiches. They need to mimic Arthur Conan Doyle's stories. That means they're set in period. That means they're accurate as far as what went on in that period. Holmes and Watson are portrayed as heroes. There's none of this stuff about that's so popular these days about them being degenerates or action heroes or, you know, this is Holmes and Watson as you would read if you were reading Arthur Conan Doyle. So I sent David a story called The Horror in King Street, which he loved, and he put in, I think it's volume 14. We're now up to 20 volumes, over
wow.
500 stories in that series. And my next story is coming out probably in a couple of months in volume 20 of this. It's called Blood and Gunpowder. And I've also got a story in another series. Bellinger Books is another publisher in London that specializes in Sherlock Holmes stories, and they put out a three-volume series of the early adventures of Sherlock Holmes. This is right after the years when Watson and Holmes first met. And, you know, so the stories are set in those years when Watson and Holmes are still in their 20s. So I wrote a story for that, and it was accepted. So now I've got four stories in Sherlock Holmes going. Hope to have a fifth in the fall, which I haven't really thought about yet. It's been a lot. And the other thing I'd like to mention, too, the Natalie McMaster's books are independently published. Because, again, I'm 67 years old, and I did not have time to sit around. I tried agents for a year, and I got nothing. And I know the books are good. I don't need somebody else to tell me the books are good. So I said, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and get them out on Amazon and let the chips fall where they may. But you find out when you're an independent publisher, nobody wants to talk to you. You did that yourself. It doesn't count. But now it does count because my home stories are traditionally published. So, you know, I'm both. I'm what they call a hybrid author. And, you know, I've got my street cred, as it were, from the Holmes stories. And the Natalie McMaster stories, you know, you look at my reviews on Amazon, they are pretty much all 4- and 5-star reviews. So, and these are not all my friends. You know, these are people who pick up the books, read them, and like them. So I think I'm on to something here. But, you know, of course, when you're an indie publisher, it's an uphill climb because I didn't get a seven-figure advance, and I can't get into bookstores. And a lot of literary festivals won't even talk to me because I'm an independent publisher and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, got to do what you got to do, Brian.
You do. And I really suggest that you talk to a good friend of mine. I mentioned her. She sponsors the show. We don't usually we don't usually do that because I haven't really checked out people to say, hey, I'd like to sponsor the show, and they may not be the best, but Purple Diamond Publishing, I really urge you to give her a call. It's a free consultation call.
I was just about to say that, Brian. Purple Diamond Publishing.
I don't know, because you had at least one inaccuracy in your promo on that. You can use a regular ISBN on Amazon. Because I do.
Well, okay. Well, I would check my facts on that because I was I was told that once you publish on Amazon, they will give you their ISB number.
You don't have to use it. You don't have to use it. You can go get your own.
Oh, okay.
All you have to do is pay for it.
Oh, okay.
I use my own because if you use theirs, it's their book. If you use yours,
exactly.
It's your book.
Spot on. Spot on.
My books are published by my publishing company, which is TechWriter LLC, used to be my science writing and medical company and is now my publishing company.
Well, congratulations. You're spot on. Mm-hmm. And speaking of your reviews, we'll do it really quickly because time is running away. Here's some of the reviews, and you are correct, sir. You have excellent reviews. One person said it's terrifyingly realistic. Terrifying, realistic. Another person says, excellent crime, mystery story, good read, great read, great reading, 5 stars, fast-paced plot with twists and turns, and on and on and on. These reviews are great. They're magnificent. Congratulations, sir. Before time ends, I have to ask you, you're welcome. I have to ask you one question. When I did movies and when I wrote things, I had a great backstory, but I was so afraid that my backstory would take over the main story. When you used your backstory with the polyamorous position on this one, were you so afraid that it will take that one backstory will take over the whole book instead of them concentrating on the characters, you know, solving the crimes?
You have to weave it, basically. And you have to incorporate it as a vehicle for solving the crime. And, of course, one of the ways that I did that in Venom is that the backstory is what got her into the situation in the first place. She's going to this house in Georgia to get involved in this relationship retreat to help her sort out, you know, because obviously the other two people involved aren't real hot on the idea. You know, each one of them wants her to themselves. So how are we going to straighten that out? Well, she goes to the retreat, but then the murders start happening. And, yeah, they get in the way, but that was sort of the fun of the book was, you know, Natalie especially is like, I'm not here to do this. Why does all of this stuff keep following me? I just want to have my family. But she can't have her family because the bodies keep dropping. So, you know,
very
expensive. And that is what makes a story, is the tension. How does she deal with this? So you have to weave it in.
Right. Because I would think that most authors, sometimes they get caught up in the backstory and we lose touch in the main story and the main character. Natalie McMasters, besides her being conflicted with her relationship, tell me about Natalie. How is she going to relate to me? Why am I going to root for her and cheer for her? Besides the polyamorous background, give me something about her that I want to care for her.
Because she has a lot of traditional values. She's a very non-traditional person, but she has traditional values. She believes strongly in family. It might be a different definition of family than you might have, but it's family. She's very loyal to her friends. She does not like being told what to do by anyone. And, you know, the best way to get Natalie to do something is tell her she can't. She makes bad choices, but she's 21. So she's not really experienced, but when she makes bad choices, she tries to make the best of the bad choice. So I think it's all of those things that draw you into liking the character. By the way, if you have any problems with bad language, Natty's language is terrible. She's always F this and F that, and you know. But take a walk on a college campus, please.
I hear you.
I
watch.
I don't think it's unrealistic. But
that's part of the language.
Funny.
Yeah.
So, she's a commenter on society.
Okay. Do you have any daughters, Thomas?
No, sir. Two sons.
Are you a single man or are you married?
Yeah, married. Got a beautiful wife. Dedicated my first book to her. She's working to support me as a poor, penniless novelist.
Who is your muse, Thomas? Who do you idolize or strive to be in that kind of league?
Oh, Conan Doyle, of course. Rex Stout, Nero Wolfe. Robert Parker Spencer. Who else? Sue Grafton, Kinsey Malone. Sue just died last year. She did those alphabet mysteries, got all the way up to Y.
Mm-hmm.
So those people are a strong, strong influence. And I read a lot of classical detective stories when I was a kid. You know, Agatha Christie, Dorothy Sayers, Ellery Queen, S.S. Van Dyne. So all of these people, you know, come into my knowledge of how to write a mystery. Now, Natalie McMasters is very different than any of those. But, you know, a lot of the things are the same. The depth of character is so very important. And that's what all of those books that I mentioned have. All of the protagonists have a depth of character that makes you, you know, you can see Holmes and Watson in that sitting room in Baker Street. You know, I want you to see Natalie McMasters in her townhouse in the unnamed southern capital city that she lives in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, her routines. You know, I want you, when Natalie does something, to say to yourself, oh, of course that's what she would do. This is what's important in establishing a character and in getting your readers to like the character. And, you know, there's a lot unlikable about Natalie, too. But I want, you know, it's just like a real person. You like them in spite of their faults.
You touched on a lot of social issues in your book, right on, spot on, today's social issues, and I like what you're doing. She sounds like a good character that you can get into and want to root for. I'm convinced. Thomas, what we're going to do, can you believe our interview is already over, Thomas? Look how fast this went.
Well, yep.
I
thank you very much for doing this.
My pleasure, and a shout-out to your wife, who's putting up with you until you become a bestseller.
I hope so. We're doing the best we can.
Yeah, you're on the right track. Thomas, we're going to take a 2-minute break. Ellen's going to talk to you for a little bit, just in case there's some things, because we got a little bit of time, some things I did not cover and maybe you want to cover. She'll talk to you about for a minute, and when we come back on, I'm going to give you like 30 seconds, and you could touch on things we didn't touch about. And you can promote your book and market your book if you give me 2 minutes. How's that?
All right, you got it.
Thank you so much, Thomas. We're talking to Thomas A. Burns. And don't forget the A, you morons. Thomas A. Burns. And the name of the book is Venom. The series is the Natalie McMasters series. And we'll be right back. If you'd like to come in the studio, Ellen has the number. If you want to ask some questions
like
to Mr. Burns.
If you like to come in, you have 9 minutes to come in for this show. We have a double header, 319-527-6099. If you'd like to come in and ask Mr. Thomas A. Burns, Jr. some questions. So if you want to come in, get in here.
That's right. And, again, I want to thank our sponsor, Purple Diamond Publishing. I want to also thank our other sponsor, Jonas Saul, the mystery books, Sarah Roberts series, which is amazing. Christine Abree, our Scottish friend across the pond in the UK, and her detective stories, which is based on true crime stories. I want to thank her, Christine Ashby, for
Ashbury.
I'm sorry. You will start hearing next week, you will start hearing their commercials on our show. We are worldwide. We're everywhere. We're on Stitcher. We are on TuneIn. We're on Blog Talk. We're on SoundCloud. We're on Twitter. We are on Facebook. We are everywhere. Our goal is to get the authors. We do. We made a promise 10 years ago. MVP On Demand made a promise 10 years ago. We're going to move artists forward. And that's what we have done, and we continue doing so. Stay with us. Be right back. If you'd like to come into the studio and ask Mr. Thomas A. Burns a question, Ellen has the number once again, and we'll be back in 2 minutes.
319-527-6099.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ellen will talk to Mr. Burns.
Everybody, this is JC, a.k.a. Triple Threat here, and when I get my crazy fix, I tune into Hammer 96.7 weekdays, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern.
Hey, this is Torito with Triple Threat Productions. When I want to get my crazy fix, I tune into Hammer 96.7 weekdays, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern.
Yeah, baby. I love it when they do radio IDs. I love it. It's so narcissistic, but I love radio IDs. I love it. I think I'll give you another treat. You missed our radio ID. Here we go.
What's up, everybody? This is JC, a.k.a. Triple Threat here. And when I get my crazy fix, I tune into Hammer 96.7 weekdays, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern.
Hey, this is Torito with Triple Threat Productions. When I want to get my crazy fix, I tune into Hammer 96.7 weekdays, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern.
Right on. Number
yep.
one in
we
the
need,
morning.
We need to get some new IDs. We need to get Charisse to do one. We need to get Jonas and Adrian and Michelle Marie Mays and.
I like to get Thomas to do an ID. But before we do that, Thomas, we're back now, and you're listening to Hammer 96.7. You're right, Ellen. Thank you very much. Number one in the morning with Ellen J. and Brian Hammer Jackson. Thomas, 30 seconds, my friend, without being interrupted, promote, market. If we didn't go over any talking points, this is your chance to do it. Take it away, Thomas A. Burns, my friend.
Okay, thank you, Brian. It's Thomas A. Burns Jr. Got to have that junior in there to keep me away from the philosophy guy. I wanted to mention that the Natalie McMaster's books are coming out in audio. Stripper is already out on Audible. Revenge will be coming out next month, April. Trafficked will be coming out in June. Hopefully, Venom will be out in July. The narrator is Ms. Lisa Ware, who, when you have heard Lisa, she is phenomenal. The voices for the characters are all different and diverse. It's a real treat to hear her, Natalie McMasters, as well as the other characters. So get on to Audible or Amazon and look for those audiobooks if that's your cup of tea. All right, so that's basically the only thing I didn't mention that I wanted to.
And Thomas, how do they reach you? Are you on social media?
I am all over social media. I have a readers group on Facebook called Natty's Readers, N-A-T-T-I-E is Natalie's nickname. So look for Natty's Readers. You can find me on Twitter at 3M Detective. You can find me on Instagram at 3M Detective. You can find me on Tumblr as Natalie McMasters. And I have a website, which is 3MDetectiveAgency.com.
Right on.
I'm Brian.
Thomas A. Burns, everybody. Thomas, it's been an honor. It's been a pleasure. I'm a fan. I love your stories. It's on Amazon now. We're talking about Venom by Thomas A. Burns. And for his friends, Junior. Thank you so much for coming in the studio, Thomas. Have a safe journey. Come back again and promote your new book when you have it out. Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you, Brian.
You're
Thank
welcome.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend. And
you, you're welcome.
There he goes, everybody. Thomas A. Burns. We do have a doubleheader. The celebrity chef Charisse is coming up. She has a great dish for your Valentine's Day night. It's coming up in about 30 seconds. I want to thank you for joining us and support Thomas A. Burns. Support all of our authors, our indie authors. Everybody has a story. You're only getting 10% for the bestsellers. You should hear the other 90% of the stories, and they're marvelous. Thomas A. Burns. The book is called Venom. Support him. Support all the indie authors. And we'll see you guys in about 1 minute and our doubleheader with Charisse, the chef, Charisse Kateri Cox, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.